The following is a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.
There's, I think it's Dos Equis or something, that the most interesting man in the world. I honestly believe that they patterned that whole advertising program after this man. Because our guest today is truly, in my personal opinion, the most interesting man in the world. And not only that, he created the very first international hedge fund. He is known today as the Med Hedge Fund Trader. And in my personal opinion, he's one of the brightest guys on Wall Street. And I'm pleased this morning to have Mr. John Thomas. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Mike. How are you? Boy, with that build up, I better deliver.
Well, John, your whole life has been delivering. I'm reading your bio here. You've gone 20,000 feet up on Mount Everest. You went to the edge of 90,000 feet in the cockpit of a MiG. And you've gone down to the depths of a sunken Japanese fleet in the Truk Lagoon. You know, you pretty much have done it, my friend. Your life has been interesting. You need to write a book. Just don't leave this earth, John, without writing a book of your exploits. But more importantly today, what do you think about what's going on? First of all, do you like this stock market right now? Do you think it's overbought? Do you think it's oversold? How do you read the market
right
now?
I hate the stock market right now, but I love it for the next 3 years. So provided you can hack the volatility that probably will last through the election, should be able to get decent single-digit returns for the next several years. Equities are the new high-yield asset of our day. Everything else yields pretty much zero or large negative numbers.
Now, you mentioned the elections. What impact, now, talking about strange, we have a strange election cycle this time around. What do you think of the elections? Is there do you think the market has a preference for one candidate over the other? How do you read the election this year, John?
The market preference is for it to be over. It doesn't really care. It doesn't really care that much who wins. It just wants it out of the way. And in fact, the president has very little impact to affect the economy. What's scaring people this year is Donald Trump, who is promising to completely upend the entire post-war system, not just the economic system, globalization, but also the defense arrangements that we have through NATO and our Asian treaties. You throw that out the window, and all of a sudden, Dow 3000 is in the cards.
Now, and in fact, I know that you have security clearance, and so you really are actively involved in a lot of segments of our society and government, and travel the world frequently. He's kind of going after NATO. What are your thoughts about that? Is NATO a good thing or a bad thing?
Oh, NATO is the best free lunch in the world. It's basically getting Europe to pay for our defense.
Really?
You know, until a few years ago, we kept 500,000 troops in Europe, and they paid a large part of the cost just to keep Russia at bay. Well, when Russia went away, that wasn't necessary any longer. You know, the mere fact that the leading nations of the world are talking to each other is incredibly important, and NATO performs one of those functions. I mean, the United Nations is another one that does that.
Has Russia really gone away, though? I mean,
it seems
like
they haven't gone away, but look, you know, we have a $18 trillion GDP. They have a $4 trillion GDP. You know, they never were much of a threat. However, they do have nuclear weapons, about 8,500 of them. How far do you want to push a guy with 8,500 nuclear weapons and submarines and bombers to deliver them? So these people who are gung-ho about invading Syria, invading Russia, you know, they don't know that because they don't remember that, or they never knew it in the first place.
So, and Putin seems to be, you know, a lot of people are saying that Putin's a much stronger leader than Obama, and so they bang away on Obama for that. And a lot of people are afraid of Putin. You know, he's been down there with Assad, trying to help him out. Do you have any concerns about Putin at all?
None whatsoever. You know, he's all bluff. As they say in Texas, he's all hat and no substance. You know, he's trying to get as much as he can with talk only, and that's what he's doing. Do they prevent an existential threat to the U.S.? Yes, if somebody else besides Putin gets in there.
Yeah, you're right, John. We call it big hat, no cattle down here. All right, what's your thoughts on the Federal Reserve? They seem to be pretty wishy-washy there, too.
No interest rate rise until December.
No interest rate rise until December.
Okay.
Yeah, Janet Yellen was my economics professor at Berkeley, and when she was president of the San Francisco Fed, I had lunch with her once a quarter for 5 years. So I have a pretty good read on her. Her only priority in life is jobs. So unless you can prove that, you know, runaway inflation is imminent, interest rates are going to stay low.
Now, and when they do start rising, are you in the camp that they're just not going to go up very far? There are a lot of people that are saying that we're going to be almost at zero interest rates for 10 years or more.
You know, we could be low for 10 years or more. But, you know, look what happened last time they raised interest rates. Knocked 14% off the Dow in a heartbeat. The market immediately discounted 7 more quarter point rate rises. It'll do that again. You know, even if the Fed raises a quarter, the market will go ahead and discount the next 7 for her, and she won't have to do anything except think about, you know, easing policy to correct the huge market correction. That's exactly what happened in January, February.
And when she starts, because a lot of people are saying, you know, she can't raise rates here because everybody's going down elsewhere. Is there any truth to that?
There's just no need to raise rates. That's why I say she needs proof that inflation is right around the corner, or she'll only do token rate rises forever. And by the way, if we go into the next recession and interest rates are only a quarter or a half percent, that's when you do see negative interest rates in the United States.
All right. So what's your read on our economy? Are we just muddling along?
Economy is good. 2.5% a year is all you're ever going to get when you have the massive demographic headwind of 85 million retiring baby boomers. That ends in the 2020s when the baby boomers are pretty much all gone. Then we go back to a very high 3 or 4% growth rate. That's when we enter the roaring 20s. That's when the stock market goes up 10 times. This is the hard decade. The next decade will be the easy decade, whether you're investing in stocks, bonds, oil, commodities, land, whatever.
Yeah, well, in fact, let's talk about oil and commodities. What are your thoughts on oil? You know, up, down, and Hoffmeister.
You know, the bottom is in. We're really looking at a 32, 42 range, possibly for years. I'm not one of these bulls that, you know, like Boone Pickens says we're getting back to $70 by the end of the year. The fact is there's just so much supply overhang. It's unbelievable. You know, 2,000 duck wells in the United States alone. And the wells are getting more efficient all the time, which means the break-even cost for production is falling. So add to that the fact that Iraq and Iran are bringing huge supplies on the next couple of years. I don't see us going back to $100 a barrel ever.
Wow. Yeah, I do think all this new oil is going to put a cap. But so you don't buy into John Hoffmeister, former Shell Oil president, who believes we're going to get back to 80.
Well, ask him to go look at the specs on the Tesla 3. 220 miles for $35,000 and, 28,000 after federal subsidies and no fuel or maintenance for the life of the car. Tell me how much oil. They sold 300,000 of those in 3 days.
All right, hang on, John. We'll be back on the other side of the break. Back in a moment, folks.
The following is a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.
We've got Mr. John Thomas, otherwise known as the Mad Hedge Fund Trader. He created the very first international hedge fund. What about China? You know, one of the big disappointments has been China. Everybody's been I don't think most people understood how much industry relied on China for many, many years. And, of course, their growth rate has come down from 11, now is officially 7, but is probably less than that. What's the impact of China? And I'm going to move on from there. Do you see any opportunities in any countries elsewhere? Because I know you travel around the world extensively.
Yeah, China's in the process of transitioning from a high-growth economy to a moderate growth economy. I saw Japan do exactly the same thing in the 1970s. And all that means is that China, you know, becomes another South Korea, you know, an emerging market with a fairly high and rising standard of living. You know, we never really depended on China that much, but too many industries depended on the China story that would keep growing forever. And at the top of that list, I would put the oil industry, because, you know, never-ending China rising consumption was always a big part of the Permaville story on oil, and it was never true.
Wow. So you're not looking for much out of China then. Are you looking for collapse, economic collapse in China?
No, countries with $3.6 trillion in reserves tend not to collapse. You know, countries with no reserves or negative reserves, that's where your collapse stories are coming from. So will Venezuela collapse? Absolutely. Russia is getting kind of close to collapse, funding all these wars that it can't afford. So China, no, I'm not worried about China. In fact, people in China I talk to on a regular basis say, what's the big deal? Everything here is normal, no panic, no starvation. You know, if you top tick the market in condos, you may be suffering a little bit. But guess what? That happens here, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you see any other countries out there where there's opportunity?
I think.
I mean, like I've read something.
Yeah, QE is going to work in Europe. Therefore, their stock market will outperform ours. Same with Japan. You want to be investing in stocks in countries that have active quantitative easing programs, not in countries that just ended their quantitative easing, like the United States. So I expect both Japan and Europe to outperform the U.S. You want to get into those two countries whenever their currency is strong, and that causes their stock markets to sell off. That gives you your great entry point. And by the way, their currencies are both strong right now.
All right, John, thank you so much for being with us and sharing with us. I'll look forward to having lunch with you next Friday.
Okay, and I'll talk see you in Houston.
All right, thank you, John.
You have been listening to a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.